This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Open the eyes and ears of our heart so that we might hear your voice, Good Shepherd, and give us the grace and the strength to respond to that voice, to follow on the path where you have led the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Most of you are aware that I was in the Dominican Republic last weekend with Dee at the request of our Bishop Leo Friday, as I serve as chair of the World Mission Commission for the diocese. And Bishop Holguin, the Bishop of the Dominican Republic, had for the first time ever brought together all of the parishes, all of the companion dioceses from across the nation that partner with the Dominican Republic in mission. It was a huge gathering, and it was a lot of Spanish. And my ears hurt when we were done. But when we arrived there and they had things assembled in a convention area by their cathedral church in downtown Santo Domingo, and I was standing there and behind me I heard this voice, unmistakable voice, that said, "Father Marty, how are you?" And I knew immediately it was Father Sandino. I didn't have to see him. I knew his voice. Those of you who've traveled to the Dominican Republic and have been a part of any of our mission teams, I'm sure you can relate. He has this unmistakable voice, always with a conditional that he'd always say, "If it is possible, could you do this?" Then we were standing around a little further, and again I heard this unmistakable voice, much more boisterous, but in a different accent. And he said, "Marty, how are you?" And before I even turned around, I said, "Father Guillaume, it is so good to be with you again." Again, another unmistakable voice. A priest that we had partnered with 2 mission trips ago, building a basketball court for him in the town of Consuelo for his school. And he wanted me to be able to tell you that not only is that being used now as a basketball court, but also a mini soccer field. And by your financial donations and the hard work of the people of this church, they were able to get certified to expand their school, put on a third floor onto the school, and now that school goes all the way through 8th grade. It's serving kids who probably wouldn't have an educational opportunity like that were it not for that school's existence. So you done good. Then there was another voice, and this was one of the first priests I ever met in the Dominican Republic, and it was Ricardo Potter. And those of you who went with us to Halonga many years ago when he was working side by side with Bishop Pereira, Ricardo Potter was working on a separate project down by the well down the street, those of you might remember. Now, he's Hispanic, Dominican, but he grew up in Brooklyn. So if you can imagine Spanish being spoken with a Brooklyn accent, he's got an unmistakable voice. He wanted to get my attention, and he said, "Father Zlatic, could I speak with you?" I knew immediately without turning around, I knew his voice. He wanted us to know that the bakery project we were working on, Halonga, that got stalled, is not dead. That it's being revived now, and they're taking a different approach of a co-op with the local townspeople, of getting them to buy into it physically and financially so that they will share in the ownership of the bakery project, and they really feel like this will be successful. So you've done good. It was an amazing gathering. And I want to tell you that at the end of all of these conferences and everything, on last Sunday, they basically closed the diocese, which encompasses the entire Dominican Republic. And they brought together by bus all of the parishes, all of the churches, all of the schools with their marching bands and flags. They had to rent out the Olympic volleyball arena to hold all the people. 3,000 people gathered for this Eucharist. And I want you to know, it was 4 hours long. Bishop Holguin preached for 35 minutes. I don't want to hear any complaints anymore, folks. But it was wonderful. A wonderful experience. Wonderful to see all of those saints and hear their voices that have meant so much to our parish over the years, and obviously how much we continue to mean to them. Recognizing voices is important. I want to play a little game with you this morning. And if you can recognize this voice, just shout it out as you hear it.
I have a dream.
You got it. Martin Luther King. How about this one?
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not
John F. Kennedy.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
How about this one?
You're awful pretty when you get mad.
John Wayne. You're awful pretty when you get mad. He wasn't talking to anybody in particular. Okay. Now, I bet you can get this one even before he starts to speak. Mr. Rogers. We know it from that intro. And we can see him coming in with his little sweater on. We recognize because we've heard it, we've seen it so many times before. And our minds and our memories are attuned to recognize it. There you go. One more. Tweety Bird. Rachel got it. One more. Let's try it again. Nobody got it. Nobody? Perhaps it is the voice of God. Perhaps, above all, what we need to think about with this gospel is our ability to recognize God's voice. In some ways, that's what the spiritual journey is all about. The people in the gospel story today don't recognize his voice. They say, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or not, Jesus? And they haven't been on the journey with him. They haven't been on a realistic, authentic journey to listen to his voice. He says, you've heard what I said. You've seen what I've done that testifies to my words. And yet you do not recognize my voice because you have not chosen to be part of the flock. I would like to propose today that perhaps I've been leading you a bit astray, so to speak, as your leader. Because we emphasize in the mission of our particular church to bring all people into the fullness of Christ's family. Now, that is important, but the problem is we start to think that it's all about the numbers and nothing else. And sometimes we forget the second half of that mission, and to bring them and to foster their spiritual development. This is what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about listening to his voice. It becomes crucial for us not to just be worried about numbers, though that is important. But once people are on this journey, it's important that we are continuing to grow on the journey. And how can we do that? Unless we are working on the tools that we will be more attentive, more able to hear God's voice speaking to us. And how will we know when it's God's voice and not the voice of another? I'm sure we're going to hear at some point these two madmen up in Massachusetts feeling like they were spiritually called by some crazy religious fanaticism to do what they did. They weren't hearing God's voice. So we need to, not in that drastic a sense, but we still need to put the mechanisms in place for ourselves to hear God's voice. You have to be on the journey to be able to hear his voice. I mean, look at Mary, the first resurrection appearance. Mary thinks that Jesus is the gardener. She doesn't recognize who it is. But what happens? Jesus calls her by name. She hears his voice, and she knows it is the Lord. There's other ways in which this happens. Sometimes it's not necessarily us being aware that it is God's voice, but we need other people to help us. If you're doing the Bible challenge, we had that reading from Samuel just a week ago. Great reading from Samuel, where Samuel was there with Eli, and Samuel hears a voice calling him, and he thinks it's Eli. He goes in the other room. "You called me?" Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." He goes back, hears the voice again, comes over. Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." And then Eli realizes God is calling him. And so he tells him, the next time you hear the voice, say, "God, here I am." And he does. And he hears God's voice. And he embarks on his own prophetic mission as a result. Eli was an important character in that story. What are we doing to have those Elis in our own life? The people who help us to stay on the straight and narrow, that help us to take God's voice as opposed to another voice we might be tempted to follow. For some people, it's spiritual direction, having that mentoring relationship throughout time with someone. For a lot of us, it's being in a small group, an accountability group. You come out of Curcio. You have a Bible study group, the Brother of St. Andrew, the Daughters of the King. You have a group that holds you accountable, and they hear what you're saying, and they bounce it back to you. It can be a spouse, it can be a best friend, but somebody who can help us to decipher where God is speaking to us. And then there are these other ways as well that our hearing, recognizing God, but not necessarily just with our ears, it's with our other senses as well. I mean, look at Thomas, doubting Thomas. He heard Jesus, but he needed more. And Jesus says, "You need to see me, you need to touch me. Here I am. Whatever you need." We all have these unique ways in which we ourselves will learn to hear God's voice. And it's going to be different spiritual disciplines. Some people love centering prayer, to sit in quiet for a half an hour. For other people, forget it, it's going to put them to sleep. But there are so many different ways that we can approach our lives and learn to hear more and more where God is calling us to go. This is what this whole Reveal survey process was about. And there is a small group of people that are working on this. And the whole idea is we're on this journey. What are those catalytic converter? It's about conversion, but not catalytic. What are those moments that we need to move us along, the catalysts that are going to help us to move along in the journey to hear God's voice to take us to the next step more? And that's what we hope will come out of this. I mean, you look at those disciples even last week in the gospel. Wasn't Jesus' voice that they recognized it was him? It was in the good fishing advice that he gave them. It had to be him. He knew where the fish were. It's different for each of us, but it becomes so important for us if we're going to be moving along on this journey to hear his voice more and more, and then to have the grace and the strength to follow. One of my personal heroes is a man priest by the name of Henry Nouwen, very famous writer, has lots of books that are very short but very deep, filled with spiritual good stuff. And when I was arriving in Rome for seminary, he had just been completing his tenure as scholar in residence at the North American College where I lived. So I got to meet him a few times and was just amazed at the holiness of this man and his simple, down-to-earth nature. Well, his books were at the height of popularity, and he was becoming more and more famous, more and more requested on the lecture tour. And he decided that it was becoming too much about celebrity for him. And so he intentionally chose to leave his position. He was at Harvard Divinity School. He left there and moved in to live with a community known as LARCHE, L-A-R-C-H-E, a community of severely disabled people, where he would live in relative obscurity and would work in that community. It had a profound impact on his spiritual journey. He wrote a book. It's called In the Name of Jesus. And listen, this is what he writes, reflecting on experience. For Christian leadership to be truly fruitful in the future, a movement from the moral to the mystical is required. It is not enough to be moral people, well-trained, eager to help fellow humans, able to respond creatively to the burning issues of our time. All of that is valuable and important, but it is not the heart of Christian leadership. The central question is, are we truly men and women of God? People with an ardent desire to dwell in God's presence, to listen to God's voice, to look at God's beauty, to touch God's incarnate word, and to taste fully God's infinite goodness. Sounds like listening to the voice of the shepherd to me. As we go forward in our journey together, in a few weeks we'll arrive at Pentecost, and we will celebrate the Holy Spirit coming, and each of them hearing the word proclaimed in their own personal language. Maybe that should be our prayer in the intervening weeks, that we will continue to find the ways, that God will help us to find them, that we might be attuned to hearing God's voice, so that we might follow our shepherd. Amen.